This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is the morning run and you're here with Xiao Ning and Koo Soo Chuang. Now, in about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking to Cheryl Hamdan, Deputy UMNO Youth and Information Chief, on the revival of the Special Affairs Unit, also known as JASA. But before that, our favourite Chuang, markets.
Yes, that's right. In America, the Dow was up by 1.4%, the S&P was up by 0.6%, the Nasdaq was up by 0.5%. They're going gangbusters again. I think they're just hoping for the stimulus check to be written for them again, right?
And I think some of it is probably also vaccine optimism.
Vaccine optimism as well. It's election year, so Donald Trump is doing all he can to make sure that there's euphoria in the air. And obviously, in 3 months' time, we might have Joe Biden instead.
Yes. Well, you know my views on this. But anyway, yes. In Asian markets, Nikkei is down 0.3%. Hang Seng was up 0.6%. Shanghai was up 0.2%. Straits Times was up 0.7%. And FBM KLCI was down 0.5%. So somewhat of a mixed bag down here in Asia. But for more insights into global markets, we speak to Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence. Good morning, Tony. Now, you know, like we just said a minute ago, US markets continue to break records. Now, how much of that is driven by vaccine optimism and a potential deal for unemployment benefits?
I think a bit of it is because if there is a deal for unemployment benefits, it'll continue to drive consumption. And the disposable income that people have with the $600 extra a week really helped the consumer side of the economy stay afloat for the things that were open. So, you know, there is an expectation that if something similar passes, that it will help consumption in Q3. However, we see things like manufacturing employment coming back quite strongly, despite the ADP number that was out today. Services is lagging a bit, largely because of restaurants and shops and that sort of thing not being open so much. But it is on that, and it is on the expectation of a weakening dollar as well with both equity markets and commodities.
Yeah, Tony, the same euphoria is happening to gold, and it's now something like $2,040 an ounce, one of the highest, if not the highest, it's ever been. Is it now vulnerable to a price correction, though?
It is, but if so, we don't think it would be by much for some time, because with the weak dollar and with more reliance on central banks and monetary policy, it's likely that commodities will continue to rally. And the dollar has a lot of, you know, dedicated bulls. So we don't necessarily, there may be a couple of hiccups before the end of the year, but we don't see a whole lot slowing it down. And having said that, we don't see a lot more headway to the upside. There's some, but we don't see like another 20% gain or something like that. It's possible, but that's not within our baseline expectation.
I mean, there's even talk of $3,000 an ounce. You don't think that's going to happen, obviously?
I think that's possible, but not likely.
Meanwhile, if you're looking at Europe, the euro has strengthened against the US dollar now. So is this again the US dollar weakness rather than US euro strength? And what does this mean now for investors? Should they be more bullish on the eurozone?
Well, you know, a number of investors are bullish on the eurozone because many of the countries in Europe are, you know, fully back to normal and they're doing quite well. So there is optimism about European companies, but it is also related to the dollar and dollar weakness. I think one of the other considerations around dollar weakness, whether it's gold or euro or other things, is the uncertainty around the U.S. election. You know, I think the priced into dollar weakness is the possibility of a Biden win. And there is not a lot of excitement around a Biden economy. So if there is clarity, for example, of, say, a Trump win, Trump has done some interesting things for the economy and pulling back regulations and other things. I have a feeling that if there is more clarity around a Trump win, if that happens at some point, it's possible there will be more dollar strength.
Yeah, and Tony, oil has been trading in a very tight range. API mm-hmm. and U.S. crude data showing a fall though in inventories. Why aren't prices rising more then?
It's demand. Yes, the supplies are falling, but the demand it came back, but it is not continuing to rise as quickly as it had when things first started to open up. And until we start seeing things like flights happening again, business travel, personal travel happening again in a big way, we're not really going to see things like jet fuel consumption come back. And that's really where a lot of the growth is. So a lot of Americans are driving more in cars because things like mass transit. So I'm in suburban Houston, Texas. Right next to my office is a very large car park for commuters into the city. That car park has been closed since February. So the people who want to drive into the city for it have to drive their own cars. There really isn't a mass transit option. So individual consumption has risen because people who want to go to work have to drive themselves. But we don't have things like jet fuel consumption that have come back anywhere close to where they were in, say, January.
And Tony, I want to come back to the U.S. dollar, right? What's your view in it? You expect it to continue to weaken? And if so, how has that changed your strategic asset allocation?
Well, we really just turned. So through July, we expected the dollar to start to rally in kind of October, November, start to rally a little bit. But we just did our reforecast, our August reforecast on Monday, and we're expecting dollar weakness through the end of the year. So that market has evolved a bit where it's tougher for that asset to come back in value. And part of that is the veracity of the euro strength. So we are a bit worried about dollar value. Again, if we see a Trump win, which is it likely now? I don't think we really know that. But if we do, we do expect that we'll see some dollar strength come back a bit earlier. If it's a Biden win, we expect the dollar to remain weak as, you know, monetary policy and central bank and QE infinity, those sorts of things will potentially be part of the economic plan. So we don't expect a strong dollar rally this year. It would be Q1 before we've started to see some real strength in the dollar. So, you know, we're not expecting the dollar, you know, DXY, for example, to go into the mid 80s or anything like that. But we do expect it to remain weak over the next several months.
Yeah. And of course, Tony, Friday sees U.S. non-farm payrolls come out. Are you expecting the numbers to reflect this softening job market?
Well, you don't necessarily see the job market softening. I mean, there are a couple of dynamics. As unemployment benefits dry up, people are going to have to start going back to work. So they probably won't be as rich as they have been for the last few months. So people are going to have to get out and they're going to have to work a bit more. And we all have also seen manufacturing come back pretty strongly. So, for example, one of our clients is an auto parts manufacturer in Michigan in the U.S. As automakers pivoted to make ventilators, the auto parts business dried up. So these guys went from 400 workers to like 15 workers, like a dramatic cutback. Over the last 3 months, well, as of August, they'll be back to 100% of their workforce working. So they've seen literally a V in their workforce utilization. We've spoken to a number of people who that's what they're seeing. And this is particularly on the manufacturing side, where they had to cut back dramatically in March, April, May. And since then, they've really started to build up pretty rapidly, given the extent of the cuts that they had to make in Q2.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence, highlighting about the U.S. dollar, right? He expects it to remain soft until year end, maybe only recovering in the first quarter. And of course, that is also dependent on who might actually win or might be in the White House come November.
So I let my fingers to the walking. And according to the Financial Times, Joe Biden is, you know, head and shoulders above Donald Trump in terms of the polls, which means in come three months' time, Mr. Orange Man will be out of the White House. No more orange in the White House.
No more orange in the White House.
Yeah, but did you see those tweets that Donald Trump is trying to do to delay the elections?
Well, he has been questioning whether they are going to be reliable in the first place, right?
Yeah.
Well, we'll be watching this space. I mean, it's less than 100 days to the U.S. presidential elections. It's going to be interesting times. I just wonder, you know, in the meantime, who's really managing the United States? Because unfortunately, the COVID-19 cases just seem to get increasingly worse. But let's hope they actually sort out an unemployment benefits deal quickly, because otherwise the economy will really pay the price for it. But up next, we'll be speaking to Cheryl Hamdan, Deputy UMNO Youth and Information Chief on the revival of JASA. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.